for Jerusalem Post Radio. Welcome to Get Personal with Ruthie. I'm your host, Ruthie Bloom. Today's guest is Rabbi Shlomo Kori, Master Practitioner of Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Rabbi Kori, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Neuro-Linguistic Programming, that's quite a mouthful. Could you tell us what that is?
Sure. Neuro-Linguistic Programming, or NLP, as we like to refer to it, is a study of human excellence. That's how it's been defined, which means it's a way of realizing your potential, finding out how you can excel in any particular field.
Now, does that mean that any kind of problem you have, you can deal with through linguistics?
Yes and no. That is to say, NLP can deal with just about any problem, but it's not purely linguistics. Part of it is linguistics. You could define it more as how a person talks to himself, what kind of visualizations people make, how they speak to themselves, what kind of feelings they have, what kind of self-beliefs they have. And by examining those and changing them, a person can begin to realize their potential in any given area.
You mean, I decide that I want to be a concert pianist, so I can use NLP to visualize myself playing the piano in Carnegie Hall and it'll happen?
Again, yes and no. That is to say, you could develop your potential as a pianist, but whether or not you'll make it to Carnegie Hall or not is a different story. But you can realize whatever potential you do have by using NLP. It's not only a question of visualizing yourself playing in Carnegie Hall. It could be making visualizations about yourself excelling in piano, seeing it going easily, things like that.
People come to you for some kind of treatment. Can I call it treatment? Therapy? What would I call it?
That's a good question. I try to avoid those words because it's not only a question of eliminating negative things. And the word therapy or treatment implies that there's a problem. It could be even a person, let's say, who wants to upgrade their performance, somebody who's already doing something quite well. Let's say a person who's an excellent public speaker who wants to become even better, or an athlete. A lot of athletes have gone to NLP practitioners to improve themselves.
So let's suppose I decided to come to you and I say, listen, I know I've got a lot of potential, but I really don't know in what. Does that happen?
It hasn't happened to me yet, but it could happen. And then the first thing would be try to find out what the person really wants. And you can do that.
And you would do that by some kind of visualization process where, say, what is it you, how do you see yourself?
That particular thing that you mentioned, I would do more by speaking to the person and finding where their real desires lie. Sometimes people aren't aware of them, and you can uncover that.
Okay, now let's take my field, writing. What if I come to you and I say, listen, I want to realize my potential as a writer. Could you give me an example of an exercise that I would do to increase that potential?
The first thing I would probably do is ask you to remember a time that you wrote something that you knew was particularly excellent, something that you really felt was the best you could do. And then I would have you go back to that time, and I'd have you remember what you were seeing at that time as you were writing, how you were talking to yourself about it, what kind of feelings you had, what kind of self-beliefs you had at that time, and have you recreate some of those now and install them. Something may have happened since then that is now preventing you from realizing that potential, but you can overcome whatever's happened since then.
No, but you see, you could be wrong. There have been times I've written things. Listen, it's a known joke among editors that you say to a writer, find the sentence that you are most in love with and then cut that one out. That's because usually that's the crap. Now, why is that? Often the thing we're most married to is really tied up in ego. It's more a way of saying, look at me, I'm a good writer, than it is of actually presenting good writing. That may be true of music and art as well. I imagine it's true of, and it could be true of anything. Therefore, if I were to, oh, and another thing with writing, I could look back at something that I thought was the best writing I could do, and I reread it later, and I think it really stinks. Therefore, maybe conjuring up images of how I felt during that wouldn't be a good exercise in a case like that.
That's true. What we'd have to do is then choose a time that you, afterwards, you also felt very good about the writing that you'd done, and select that time as a model time. Or another possibility would be to have you imagine how you would be when you're writing really well, or how other people who've written really well, what they do. This is something that's very common in NLP, is that they will interview people who are excellent at something, and they'll find out all the criteria I mentioned to you before, and then they'll help people to replicate some of those in themselves in their own way and discover how far they can really go.
Okay, now when you talk about realizing your potential, can that also be true of personal relationships rather than of something that has to do with your career or your artistic ability?
Definitely. With relationships, any area of life, really. Anywhere where a person has room to grow. Human beings aren't static, because we always can grow in different areas. And anywhere where a person can grow, you can use these principles.
Well, now that's interesting, because you're a rabbi, so I would think that, I would have thought that the way you would imagine someone could grow would be through spiritual means. And this sounds more like kind of new age self-reinforcement rather than something from a higher authority.
Okay, that's a big point. Let's say that this can be used in, first of all, in getting over certain obstacles that a person may have, which may prevent them from spiritual growth, if you want to call it that. And even in areas of spiritual growth, many times I find it's very useful. People would say who don't have goals, and it's important to have very specific goals in Torah matters. And this can help a person discover what kinds of goals would really be appropriate for them.
Okay, now let's take you, for example. Do you practice, you're a master practitioner after all, do you practice it on yourself?
Yes, I've definitely used it on myself, and I found it very, very useful. That's one of the reasons I selected it as a method for helping people.
Would you, for example, ask yourself how you could be a better rabbi and imagine yourself in a situation where you were helping people more or even getting more following?
I could do that. I don't know if I've done that in exactly the way that you worded it, but actually the example you just mentioned is very good. What kind of questions a person asks themselves? We're just finishing a time now right after the Aseres Yemei Teshuva that really a person's asking themselves, what have I done wrong and what have I done right that I can continue doing those things that are right and that I can change those things that are wrong. If a person asks themselves the right questions, they'll come out with the right solutions. And NLP helps you discover what kinds of questions you should be asking yourself, what that you can ask yourself. Anyone who's interested in more information could look at my website, www.nlpjerusalem.com.
Well, Rabbi Shlomo Kori, Master Practitioner of Neuro-Linguistic Programming, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.